The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you or a loved one is living with cancer, you probably have two focal points: how to rid yourself of it and how to prevent it from coming back. You'll get some terrific information today on Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. We'll explore natural medicines which may enhance conventional therapies, share cutting-edge research, and offer insight on how diet and natural medicines can play an important role in treating and preventing cancer. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. Now, here is Dr. James Belanger.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger from the Lexington Natural Health Center. Today's topic is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I also talk a little bit about chronic lymphocytic leukemia. These are both what's called lymphoproliferative disorders, or proliferation of the type of white cell called the lymphocyte that accumulates in the lymphatic system, in the case of CLL, in the blood. But these lymphoproliferative disorders represent about 4% of all cancers in the United States, and about 70,000 people in the U.S. are diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma each year. There's different types of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and some are slower growing than others. They call the slow growing ones the indolent ones, because people can have them for years and years, and median survival is up to 20 years. And the most common type of indolent lymphoma is follicular lymphoma. It represents about 70%. That's the most of the cases. There's other ones. There's ones that involve the skin called mycosis fungioides. It's actually a T cell lymphoma of the skin. And then there's something called hairy cell leukemia, which is very similar to CLL. But they're very slow growing and indolent. But a lot of people come in and see me for those types of things, like especially CLL, because they want to keep it at bay from growing and not need some chemotherapy in the future. So a lot of the things I'm going to talk about today is how I approach CLL, checking the immune system, making sure the person's immune system is able to keep these abnormal cells under control so they don't get to the point where they're going to need some kind of conventional treatment. Then there's the aggressive type of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma that, you know, grows faster, tends to relapse sooner after undergoing some kind of chemotherapy regimen. And there's different types of that. The most common one of those is called the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. That represents about 30% of all lymphomas. It's the most common one, and it's classified as the aggressive type, but many of those are cured as well. But then there's one called mantle cell lymphoma and Burkitt's lymphoma, anaplastic large cell lymphoma. There's all kinds of different types of aggressive non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. But most of what I'm going to say today can apply to all these different types. So let's start with follicular lymphoma. That's about 20% of all non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. And the main thing, whenever I see a patient with follicular lymphoma or other types of lymphoma, I look at what's called prognostic indicators. Things that, if they're abnormal, put them at higher risk for reoccurrences or progression of the disease. One of them is age, but that's slowly being removed from a prognostic indicator. But people over 60 tend to do worse just because they can't handle a lot of the treatments as well if they're not as healthy. But so that's one thing you look at. But there's something called beta-2 microglobulin. It's a blood test. I mentioned it when I was talking about multiple myeloma in one of my other shows. But beta-2 microglobulin is a component of what's called the class 1 MHC molecule. Our immune system, there are these cells called dendritic cells and macrophages. And they are like inspectors in our body. And they go around and they look for abnormal cells and proteins. And they take samples. and they present these abnormal proteins to our T cells, our T helper cells, and then the T helper cells start a cascade of reactions that allow our immune system to react. Well, there's this the necessary protein, the class 1 MHC molecule, that is necessary for these inspectors, I call them, the dendritic cells, to initiate a response to cancer. And there's this compound found on the class 1 MHC antigen called the beta 2 microglobulin. And if it's removed, if it's not on the white cell anymore, not on the dendritic cell, and floats off into the blood, it then the dendritic cell can't become activated, can't respond. And that's something that is seen in these lymphoproliferative disorders, like I mentioned with multiple myeloma, but it's also seen with follicular lymphomas, not in other types of non-Hodgkin's lymphomas. And so if that's elevated, this beta 2 microglobulin, it indicates that the dendritic cells are not going to be activated and the T cells aren't going to activate. And that's why it's considered a negative prognostic indicator. And so we want to reduce that so the immune system can start to see the cancer. So I'm going to talk about that later. So I look at that level very closely. Other things is if a person's anemic, they're more likely to have progression, because anemia means there's not enough oxygen in the blood. And cancer, including lymphomas, tend to grow more aggressively when there's not a lot of oxygen. So it's important to get lots of oxygen in the body, keep the hemoglobin at a good size, a good level. And another thing with anemia is that means that it could be expanding in the bone marrow, which isn't good. So, survival all depends on how many of these negative prognostic indicators there are. What's the extent of the disease? Is it above and below the diaphragm? Does this beta 2 microglobulin high? Are they over 60? Are they anemic? And so if you have a lot of these negative prognostic indicators, if you just did conventional therapy alone, the 10-year survival is about 40%. If a patient has very few of these negative prognostic indicators, they have a much higher 10-year survival with just conventional alone, 85%. So some people that do have more extensive disease, I urge them to do natural medicines along with the conventional therapies to help improve those survival rates. There's a lot that natural medicines can do. There's a lot of great advances in non-Hodgkin's lymphomas over the years, which have really improved the survival rates. But still, there is a place for natural medicine, especially in patients that have more extensive disease and some of these negative prognostic indicators. Okay, there's another type of lymphoma, the diffuse large B cell. Now, this represents, it's the most common type of non-Hodgkin's, representing 30% of all cases, whereas the follicular was about 20%. Those are the two most common. This one can be more aggressive, but still, many are curable if they are found more locally and not advanced. Patients that have advanced disease, just conventional therapy alone, about 50% can be cured by it. So lymphoma is a good one to have if you have it compared to other ones I've been talking about, other types of cancers. But still, there are some people that happen to have more aggressive types, and natural medicines could really help improve their overall prognosis. But same types of things, looking at that beta 2 microglobulin and age, and stage, how if there's involvement in the bone marrow or the spleen or the liver or the lungs, that makes the disease more aggressive. Somebody has that, definitely urge them to not just do conventional alone, natural medicines combined with the conventional, because the statistics are not as good when the disease is more advanced. There's also some genetic factors that can be tested. I mentioned there's a lab in Greece called RGCC, where they actually take the cancer cells found in the blood, because some of them do end up in the blood. They isolate them from other cells, and they do genetic testing. And there's this something called the MYC gene, the MYC gene rearrangement. If somebody has that, that does make the disease more aggressive. I'm going to talk about later about something found in pomegranate seeds, ellagic acid, can help downregulate that gene that if it's overexpressed. But there are some genetic tests that can be done to also determine, do you have a more of aggressive type of lymphoma? Do you need some more intense therapies from natural medicines to conventional therapies? Or do you have a more slower growing, better type? That just helps predict how much therapy you're going to need in terms of natural medicines and close follow-up as well. Okay, so the common chemotherapy regimen given for many people with both follicular and the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma and other types of non-Hodgkin's, it's called R-CHOP. CHOP stands for four types of chemotherapy drugs: cyclophosphamide, hydroxydoxorubicin, oncovin, which is vincristine, and then prednisone. But they call it CHOP. And then R is a drug called rituximab. But that is the common therapy, and it works generally quite well for different types of lymphomas. But still, there's some people that don't respond or have a short-lived response. So there is a few studies done on natural medicines combining with this CHOP or R-CHOP to make it work better. There's a study done in Molecular Cancer Therapeutics in 2003 that was done in Detroit, where they found something in soybean called genistein enhanced the effectiveness of this CHOP. Now, this was a mouse study. Fortunately, most of the natural medicine studies are done in animals, and unfortunately, we've got to put some more money into lots of human studies because there's some really promising animal studies done on these natural things. And this is a simple thing, very, very inexpensive, a compound found in soybean. Genistein, they gave either genistein alone to these animals for 5 days. They gave CHOP alone for 5 days. They gave genistein for 5 days, followed by CHOP for 5 days. And they just looked at what happened after one treatment cycle. Well, they found that the genistein reduced the number of tumor cells by tenfold. The CHOP reduced it by 15-fold. The combination of genistein plus the CHOP reduced tumor cell number by 398-fold. So the huge reduction with this. And the mechanism of action is when cancer cells are exposed to chemotherapy, they can upregulate something called NF-kappa-B. NF-kappa-B is like a life support signal. It's like a... if the cancer is sort of feeling threatened by the chemotherapy, it upregulates this NF-kappa-B, which helps prevent it from dying in response to the chemotherapy. And then there's this compound called BCL2, which is often highly expressed, that also inhibits cell death. Well, they find that is genistein can downregulate those things, that downregulate BCL2, downregulate or inhibit NF-kappa-B activation. And that's how it helps CHOP work. And that's why they started at 5 days before CHOP to reduce the that compound in the system so that it wouldn't become activated after that first dose of CHOP. They only carried it out for this one dose, and it was a mouse study, but very, very significant. And they used such a tiny amount of genistein. It was like a human equivalent of like 15 milligrams, which is like a couple bowls of miso soup. So very interesting stuff. Because CHOP does, work well for people, but if it's like a diffuse large cell lymphoma that's aggressive type, 24% of the people will, it will fail. And if it's a more aggressive type of lymphoma, the mantle cell, up to 66% of patients often relapse after CHOP. So using anything that makes CHOP work better should be studied more. Selenium has also been studied to help make CHOP work better, and there's actually a human study on that. But they found that that it's very common for people with lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, to have low levels of selenium in their blood. And then as they improve, their serum selenium gets better. So there's a study done in the Journal of Clinical Oncology in 2003 in the UK, where they measured serum selenium and found that those that had higher levels had better five-year survivals, better serum selenium levels. 80% had survived 5 years if the serum selenium was over 100 micrograms per liter. And that's a simple test that can be measured, and if a person doesn't fall in that range, then selenium supplementation or foods high in selenium, like Brazil nuts are extremely high in selenium, and porcini, mushrooms, and asparagus, and garlic, those types of foods. But getting the serum selenium over 100 might help improve five-year survival. Those that had serum seleniums that were less than 100 had 35% five-year survival. So that was an interesting study. But yeah, lymphoma cells will concentrate selenium if it's there, and then that helps normalize them. It helps induce cell death is the mechanism. But if you don't have enough selenium in your body and in your diet, then they can't be uptaken by the lymphoma cells. But there is a study done showing that it improves the response rates of CHOP. Is this a journal, Biology Trace Elements and Research, 2007. This study was conducted in Egypt, where they took 50 patients with newly diagnosed stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and 25 of them got the CHOP alone, 25 got CHOP plus a very high dose of selenium, 17 milligrams. Now, that's a really high dose, and that's something that needs to be monitored, because selenium does have toxicity. This was a form of selenium that is more likely to have toxicity, sodium selenite, that they used. So it's a pretty high dose that they used. And then they just had this control group that they followed. But they found that the response rate was 60% in the selenium plus the CHOP group, whereas it was 40% in the CHOP alone. And the survival had improved. Not a huge amount, from 19 months to 21, almost 22 months. And it was actually pretty well tolerated. It did bother some people's stomachs. It does cause like some garlic odor in a person, but and a mild liver enzyme elevation, but that can be monitored. I don't know why they chose such a high dose, but if less is necessary, but that study did a very high dose of that. The mechanism is it did improve natural killer cell activity, helps the immune system fight the cancer better, helped the T cells fight the cancer. The killer cell activity increased by 82%, the T cell activity 118% increase, and it also decreased that thing I mentioned with the genistein, the BCL2. BCL2 is a protein that inhibits cell death in response to chemotherapy. And this sodium selenite caused a 19% decline in BCL2 expression. It also, in another study done in Egypt in the same journal in 2006, they also found that selenium reduces the infection rates. That the, again, when they gave one group just CHOP alone, one group CHOP plus the sodium selenite. This time they only gave it for 5 days, and they gave it on days 3 to 7 of the chemo, and it reduced the infection rate from 67% down to 20%. And the mechanism of action, it prevented the neutrophils from falling. Neutrophils are white cells that help protect against infections. And there certainly are drugs for that, Neupogen. But what's interesting is selenium enhances the effectiveness of CHOP and also reduced some of the side effects like the increased infections and the dropping of the neutrophils. Neupogen does not do that. It helps prevent infections but doesn't make the chemo work any better. And so that's kind of a dual effect of selenium. The selenium also improved the heart, because the doxorubicin that's in the CHOP, that chemotherapy drug, can affect the heart. And they found that actually the ejection fractions of the heart, the ability of the heart to pump out the blood, improved from 62% to 69% in the selenium group, where it reduced slightly in the chemo alone group from 64 down to 63. But it can have some toxicities, like I mentioned, bothers people's stomach. So it needs to be monitored and started off slowly and worked up. But, you know, interesting research. Okay, I'm going to take a break, and when I get back, I'm going to talk about natural things that might make rituximab, the other drug used for lymphoma, work better. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
RGCC is a pioneering biotech and contract research organization enterprise, which specializes in the field of molecular and cellular genetics. The total activities of RGCC can be divided into two main sectors: the clinical services, such as detection and immunophenotyping of circulating tumor cells, and chemosensitivity, chemoresistant testing based in microarray technology, which is addressed mainly to oncologists and cancer hospitals, and the research and development services in drug development. Have you thought about chiropractic as a possible healing mechanism for any conditions, ailments, or pain you might be feeling? If not, why not think about this as an alternative to or a complement to Western medicine? Tune in to Miracles of Chiropractic with Dr. Doran Rosenfeld and co-host Dr. Robert Woolery. On the show, we'll answer your questions about chiropractic and how much it can save in both time and money when compared to conventional medicine. Listen Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Explore the power of natural healing with Howard Strauss. Join us each week for an informative program that'll help you learn effective healing methods using natural remedies. Howard's guests include top researchers, authors, and experts who will share their views on a variety of natural products and healing methods that really work. Tune in to The Power of Natural Healing with Howard Strauss, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. If you would like to find out more about the Lexington Natural Health Center, please visit lexingtonnaturalhealth.com. That's LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hello, welcome back to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger from the Lexington Natural Health Center. Okay, let's talk about rituximab. Rituximab is what's called a monoclonal antibody against this protein that's found in many types of lymphoma cells called CD20. It's a protein on the surface of these lymphocytes, B-cell lymphocytes. And this rituximab is a protein that will bind to it. And then it triggers a cell death mechanism. What happens is when an antibody like rituximab lands on the lymphoma cell, there's a bunch of proteins in our blood called complement that then just kind of pile on top of the lymphoma cells. And eventually that pokes holes in it. It's kind of like a pig pile on top of the lymphoma cells. And that's what destroys that. But, resistance can develop to rituximab. Either the CD20 is lost from the thing that the rituximab binds is lost from the lymphoma cells as they become resistant, or it just doesn't activate that complement thing as well. So there's been some studies done at Memorial Sloan Kettering in 2005 and published in the journal Leukemia Research, where they added something found in barley called beta-glucan in this animal study and found that it made rituximab work better. So in nature, it's found in various grains. It's found in oats. It's found in barley. It's found in yeasts, like what you're making your bread out of, or brewer's yeast. It's found in mushrooms. They call them beta-glucans. This particular study used beta-glucans derived from barley. Well, they find that when you ingest these foods, they get uptaken by white blood cells in our gut. We have white cells in our gut. And then it's transported to places like our lymph nodes and our spleen and our bone marrow. And then within our places like our bone marrow, then there, if it's moved to other white cells in that area, macrophages, and broken down into little fragments. And then it binds to cells like neutrophils. And it helps them bind to cells that are coated with complement. So like I mentioned, when the rituximab lands on the B cell, the abnormal lymphocyte, then complement is engaged and starts to pile on top. And then there's these white cells, different types of white cells, but mostly neutrophils that see that and bind to these complement fragments and then start dumping things that destroy the lymphoma cells. Well, they find that the beta-glucans help the white cells, like the neutrophils, bind to the lymphoma cells better, and that's how it enhances the effectiveness of it. So they gave mice a type of lymphoma called Burkitt's lymphoma, and then they gave either rituximab alone, beta-glucan alone, no treatment, or the combination of rituximab and beta-glucan, and found that the median survival improved. The rituximab alone, there was a 77-day median survival. Now, they never give rituximab alone. It's always with CHOP or something like that. But in this study, it was rituximab alone, 77 days medium survival improved to 124 days when the rituximab was combined with beta-glucan. And then they looked at percent surviving greater than 1 year. None of them had survived with the rituximab alone or beta-glucan alone or a control group. But 23% survived greater than 1 year in the combination of rituximab and beta-glucan. Really haven't seen many follow-up studies after that. I don't know if they didn't have enough funding for that, but that's be very beta-glucans are all throughout nature, very well tolerated. If the barley one is the best or some ones from mushrooms or yeast, but that would be a really simple study. And I have not found anything really since this one to show if it would work as well in people. But so more needs to be done on that. Very interesting stuff, though. Okay, so let's talk about now the immune system. Everybody that comes in to see me with any type of cancer, including lymphoma, I always check the immune system. And there's three main components of the immune system. There is what I mentioned, the inspection process, where we have cells called macrophages and dendritic cells that engulf pieces of dead lymphoma cells and present them to what's called T helper cells in our lymph nodes. And then that is then it activates the T cells, and the T cells then activate killer T cells, natural killer cells. So it's very important to make sure those three steps of the immune system are taking place properly. While it's very common with patients with lymphoma that the inspection process is not working well, those macrophages, the M1 macrophages or the dendritic cells, are not activating well. And in order for them to activate the T cell and start the inspection process, a compound called TNF-alpha and a compound called IL-1 beta is necessary to activate the T helper cell to get the message sent. I've talked in other shows that it's like you coming in contact with some inspector. The inspector just inspected your roof and said, okay, you have a problem with your roof. And now that you meet with the inspector, they tell you what needs to be done, where the problems are, and then you start making phone calls. Same thing happens in our body. The inspectors in our body, the M1 macrophages and the dendritic cells, start to come in contact with what's called T helper 1 cells to start communicating with each other that there's a problem and initiate a response. And TNF-alpha and IL-1 beta are essential for getting this response taken place. Well, this Vietnamese herb called Crinum latifolium that has been studied in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology in 2013 showed that it really helped make the macrophages induce better responses against lymphoma by improving TNF-alpha and IL-1 beta. So that's a herb that I'll often use. So I'll check those compounds in the blood. There's a lab called Pharmacin Labs in Wisconsin where you send them a blood sample. They isolate cells that are precursors to M1 macrophages and dendritic cells in the blood. They're called monocytes. And they stimulate them and they see, are they producing good levels of TNF-alpha and IL-1 beta? And if they aren't, then they're not going to be able to respond as well to lymphoma, and that this Crinum latifolium herb might be very useful. Another herb that is useful for when their macrophages might not be making enough TNF-alpha or IL-1 beta is Tinosporum cordifolium. Tinosporum cordifolium is an herb that's traditionally used in Ayurvedic medicine, and it has been studied in the journal Phytotherapy 2006, where they gave mice lymphoma. They used a T-cell lymphoma in this case, and they gave them an extract of this Tinospora cordifolium, the whole plant, and they found that there was an increase in these macrophages and the M1 macrophages in the tumors and enhanced levels of IL-1 and TNF, which is necessary to help get the whole attack started. But unfortunately, it's not that simple. The lymphoma cells commonly produce something called IL-10, which stops the contact between the T helper 1 cell and the dendritic cell and M1 macrophage. So it's like somebody getting in between you and that inspector, and the inspector can't give you the report, so you don't really know what's wrong with your house. Well, there's this compound called IL-10 that can be secreted by lymphoma cells that stops the contact. They call it a cytokine inhibitory factor. It stops the contact and the production of this TNF-alpha and IL-1 beta between the dendritic cells, macrophages, and the T-helper 1 cells. So patients that have elevated levels of IL-10 in their blood have shorter overall survivals and progressive free survival. That was studied in France in the journal Blood, 1993. So it's a common test that I'll measure. I'll do interleukin-10 in patients, making sure that it's staying in normal range. If it starts to elevate, then that could be a sign that the cancer is trying to come back and trying to avoid the immune system. If it doesn't go down after chemotherapy, it often means that there's still cells left. They're at a microscopic level, can't maybe see them on any PET scans, but they're there and they're protecting themselves against the immune system. So we want to do things that knock that down. So one herb that I will use is a mushroom called cordyceps. Cordyceps is a mushroom that grows on the heads of caterpillars. But they now have a way to culture them, but they don't have to do that now. But it was used in Oriental medicine for up to 3,000 years to help people with exhaustion. It does help with the adrenal glands as well. It's in a lot of adrenal formulas. But they found in the journal Biotherapy 1990 in Japan that cordyceps mushroom prolongs the survival in animals with lymphoma. They gave animals the cordyceps, and then they just did a control group and monitored them for up to 40 days, and the mean survival of the cordyceps went... When you talk about animals, it doesn't sound that much, but I guess once you inject them with cancer, they don't tend to live very long. But they all died within 23 days after being injected with a lymphoma when they weren't treated, and then it increased 28.5 days with cordyceps. What's that correlate with in a person? I don't know, but... there's not going to be one single herb that's going to help heal your body from lymphoma. It's a combination of things from diet to mind, body, and nutritional supplements. And cordyceps can be a useful thing and combined with other things, especially if somebody has a high interleukin-10, because that's what cordyceps targets, is decreasing interleukin-10. It also increases the ability of macrophages to engulf cancer cells. And they did a study in the Journal of Medicinal Food 2008 in Korea, finding that after the animals were injected with lymphoma, that their macrophages couldn't engulf the lymphoma cells very well. And that's because of the IL-10. The IL-10 paralyzes the contact, like I mentioned, between the dendritic cell macrophages and the T cells. And so the ability of their macrophages to move into the area when the lymphoma decreased to one quarter of the control level, the group that didn't get the lymphoma, that is. But when cordyceps was given, the macrophages and the dendritic cells were able to migrate there four times better than the control group. So it really helped them move in there, helped them engulf the cancer cells better, and then helps lower IL-10 to start off at least the first reaction that's necessary to get the body to respond. I want to talk about later, T cells are also important killer cells. But cordyceps I look at as the first part that helps the inspection take place properly. Some people have really high IL-10, and cordyceps might not be enough to lower that, or it might not work at all. And if it doesn't, there's other natural things. There's something found in mother's milk called lactoferrin. It's found in the colostrum, the first milk produced in a pregnant woman or pregnant animal. And they've been studied that, showing that that improves survival in animals with lymphoma. There's a journal, Experimental and Molecular Pathology, in 2010 in Canada, where they gave mice either just saline salt solution and the lactoferrin, and these were mice with a B-cell lymphoma, and then they looked at survival. 60% of the animals were alive 90 days after they were injected with this B-cell lymphoma, and 0% were alive at 30 days in the control group. So really prolonged the survival. 60% alive 90 days, where 0 were alive at 30 days in the control group. And how does it work? Well, it lowered interleukin-10. That's one thing. It triggered cell death of the lymphoma cells. And it's also been studied in all kinds of other cancers, such as lung cancer and melanoma and things like that. So looking like a very promising natural substance. The amount that they used in the studies, it's an animal study, but it was equivalent to about almost 3 grams of lactoferrin. Pretty high dose, but it's very well tolerated stuff. So a little more research on that one would be nice to see. But somebody who has IL-10 that's very high, lactoferrin could be a useful thing to knock that down to help their immune system see that cancer better. That's what I use the labs for, to help tell me if this product doing something. If IL-10 is high, according to the research that I mentioned that was done in France, that leads to poor or overall survivals, and it impairs the immune system. So we want to see IL-10 decline. If it's high, lactoferrin, cordyceps, if it goes down, well, that's good. We've helped that part of the immune system work better. And that's how you can tell. Instead of taking a whole bunch of products and doing things and you know, hoping for the best and finding out later your scans are worse, this is a way to really individualize it to the person. Aloe vera juice is another thing that can help interleukin-10 if it's high. There's a study done in the Russian Journal of Immunology, 1999, where they gave mice lymphoma, and then they gave them the juice of aloe vera, and it was equivalent to about 10 milliliters three times a day, and they found that the IL-10 reduced, and it also increased something called IL-2, which is necessary for T helper cell and killer T cell activation. So very, very good there. So we want to lower IL-10, and you know, because IL-10 suppresses that, but we want to raise things that activate those T helper cells. That's the second step. That's, like I mentioned, you meeting with the inspector. Inspector tells you there's a problem with the house, and now you get on the phone and start calling people to come by your house and fix it. You are the T helper one cell, and you are sending an activation signal out. And in order for the activation to take place, you need what's called interleukin-2, not interleukin-10, but interleukin-2 and gamma interferon to be produced in good levels. And you don't want high levels of IL-10. That stops the whole signaling. Well, there's an herb, tinospora, which I've already mentioned. Tinospora not only helps make our macrophages produce that TNF-alpha and the IL-1 that's needed to get things going, but they also help the second part of things, the IL-2 and the gamma interferon. And it has been shown to retard tumor growth and prolong survival in animals bearing lymphoma. Study done in the Immunopharmacology, Immunotoxicology, 2005. So tinospora looks really promising because it's a helps two parts of the immune system that can be abnormal. Again, you can measure interleukin-2 in the blood, interferon gamma in the blood, producing it from the T cells, and see, are your T cells producing enough of those compounds? If they aren't, the research says, well, then you're not going to be able to respond as well to the lymphoma. And we want to see those improve, and we want to see IL-10 decrease, and we want to see TNF-alpha and IL-1-beta increase to good levels. And that indicates that the first two parts of your immune system are working good. Okay, what are these T cells? What are these killer cells that I speak of? They are lymphocytes. Lymphocytes are your army against the cancer. You don't have enough lymphocytes, you're not going to be able to respond as well to the lymphoma. And there's several studies done on this. If your lymphocyte count is less than 1,000, then you're going to have a worse overall prognosis. But there's ways to fix this. There's definitely ways to fix this. But there's a journal, European Journal of Hematology, 2008. They just took 200 patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma and measured their lymphocytes. And those that had less than 1,000 had shorter survivals, lower response rates to the chemotherapy, and more advanced stages. Why? Because these are the cells that help your body fight the lymphoma, help keep it under control. And if the chemotherapy doesn't kill all those cancer cells, you want to make sure that your immune system can at least keep the other ones at bay or in check. And if you don't have a good army, you don't have a good strong amount of lymphocytes, then that can't take place. So we got to fix that, which I'll tell you in a second here. There's another study showing that also interferes with rituximab not having enough lymphocytes. Lymphocytes do respond to antibody-coated cells. There are lymphocytes called killer cells, natural killer cells, and when they see rituximab on the surface of a lymphoma cells, they should respond and destroy those coated lymphocytes, those coated lymphoma cells. But if you don't have a big army, you don't have enough of these lymphocytes, which are killer cells or a type of lymphocyte, then you're not going to respond as well. So sure, this Annals of Oncology 2010 136 diffuse large B-cell lymphoma patients treated with rituximab plus the CHOP. If the lymphocyte count was over 1,000, their three-year survival was, a progression-free survival was 82%. If it was less than 1,000, progression-free survival at 3 years was 60%. Overall survival at 3 years, 87% if it was over 1,000, the lymphocyte count, 62% if the lymphocyte count was under 1,000. So rituximab just does not work as well if that is low. So when I get back from my break, I'll talk about thymus. Thymus is a natural thing that can help improve lymphocyte counts. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. RGCC is a pioneering biotech and contract research organization enterprise, which specializes in the field of molecular and cellular genetics. The total activities of RGCC can be divided into two main sectors: the clinical services, such as detection and immunophenotyping of circulating tumor cells, and chemosensitivity chemoresistant testing based in microarray technology, which is addressed mainly to oncologists and cancer hospitals, and the research and development services in drug development.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger. The information presented herein is in no way intended as a substitute for medical counseling. If you would like to find out more about the Lexington Natural Health Center, please visit lexingtonnaturalhealth.com. That's LexingtonNaturalHealth.com. Now, back to this week's program.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Cancer Concepts and Compliments. I'm your host, Dr. James Belanger. So before the break, I was talking about if your lymphocyte count is low, then you're not going to have as good of a response to CHOP, R-CHOP, that is, and have increased risk of progression of the disease. However, there are things that you can do to improve the lymphocyte count so you have a bigger army against that cancer. Thymus extracts are essential for this. Now, not just any thymus extract. I've used two different ones over the years. There's one called Extra Cell Thymus by Douglas Labs, and then there's Extra Cell Thymus has been out, and I just recently switched to a different one. Nat Cell Thymus, that's another one that's available by Atrium Labs, and it's a frozen product. So it comes frozen, and I guess a lot of the compounds found in thymus are break down easily when exposed to room temperature. So it's sent on dry ice and goes in your freezer and everything. But it works very well. I've tried other thymus extracts that aren't in the frozen and aren't shipped on dry ice that don't tend to work as well. So anybody has a lymphocyte count less than 1,000, I will put them on a thymus extract, because there's a study done in the American Journal of Clinical Oncology in 1995. Where they gave 134 patients with high-grade non-Hodgkin's lymphoma either chemo or then chemo plus the thymus extract. And the remissions rates were higher, 59% in the thymus with the chemo group versus 42% in chemo alone. Four-year survival rates were also higher in the thymus group with the chemo, 64.5% versus 43%. And there was no side effects. It's very well tolerated. Didn't increase any drug related toxicity. So, but it seems to be most indicated in patients with less than 1,000 lymphocytes. Okay, now you don't want just any type of lymphocyte to increase. There are different types of lymphocytes. There's the type 1 T cells and there's type 2 T cells, for example. And the type 2 T cells will basically stop the type 1 T cells from becoming activated and activating killer cells. So in order to determine if you have a lot of type 2 T cells, you measure things like interleukin 6 and C-reactive protein. C-reactive protein interleukin 6, when they're elevated, can indicate that the type 2 immune system is being activated, which is not what you want. That is something that will suppress the type 1. There's research showing that you measure those things. Patients that have elevated levels of interleukin 6 and C-reactive protein have shorter survivals, 12-month medium survival versus way over 12 months when IL-6 and C-reactive protein are normal. There's research done in leukemia lymphoma, 1998. So if somebody has a high level of any of those, I will often give a compound that's found in grapes and it's found in mulberries and Japanese knotweed. It's called resveratrol. Resveratrol has been studied in South Carolina in the Molecular Nutrition Food Research Journal 2011, where they gave mice with lymphoma, they used a T-cell lymphoma in this case, pretty large dose of resveratrol, what was equivalent to close to 500 milligrams in a person. And they found that the tumors were half the size in the resveratrol group, and that was just after 22 days of treatment, and the median survival improved by 1.5 times longer than just the control. How does resveratrol work? Well, it can lower the C-reactive protein, this interleukin 6, shift the immune system away from the type 2 immune system to this type 1. It also helps the killer cells produce something called perforin, which perforates cancer cells. We have these cells called killer cells, natural killer and killer T cells, that poke holes basically in the lymphoma, perforate it. But they have to bind to the cancer and do that. And there's something called FAS and FAS ligand that help them bind. Resveratrol has been shown to help improve the binding of the killer cells to the lymphoma cells and help them perforate, produce perforin and other toxic substances that help kill the lymphoma cells. Another thing that may be useful is vitamin E actually can help reduce interleukin 6 and C-reactive protein. So you measure some of that in somebody that maybe is in remission and see that elevated vitamin E could be useful. Vitamin E is considered contraindicated with the chemo, but after a person's finished with chemotherapy, vitamin E could be a useful thing, especially if C-reactive protein and or interleukin 6 is high. There's a study done in Neoplasma, 1993 in India, showing that pretty high doses of vitamin E, between 800 and 2,000 units, reduces tumor growth and improves survival in mice. That's the human equivalent. And how does it work? It lowers interleukin 6, and it helps improve the activation of those T helper 1 lymphocytes. Now, there's killer cells. So killer cells are really important. If the T cells are activated, but the killer cells aren't working, then the cancer is not going to get destroyed. And there's killer T cells I mentioned, and there's natural killer cells. Well, again, if you don't have enough of those in the blood, you're going to have a worse overall survival. So we want to do things to improve the numbers of natural killer cells. There's a study done in Blood Research 2014, where if a patient had a killer cell count less than 100, they had a worse overall survival and increased progression of the disease. Low natural killer cell progression-free survival was 15 months, whereas in the high killer cell, over 100, it was 80% were still free from any progression 50 months later, 50 versus 15. So very important to measure natural killer cells. And that was in a study done in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. There's also been studies done in follicular lymphoma coming to the same conclusion. So measure natural killer cell counts. And if they're low, there's numerous things that can help. One of those is called AHCC. AHCC is a compound. It stands for active hexose correlated compound. It's a compound produced in cultured broth of shiitake mycelium. The mycelium is the root system of the shiitake mushroom. And this they're what's called alpha glucans instead of beta glucans. Well, there's a study done in Cancer Immunology Immunotherapy 2006 in the U.S. where they gave mice AHCC, and then they gave them lymphoma, and then they found that the natural killer cells increased by 1.5-fold, and it also took the lymphoma twice as long to develop in the AHCC group. You know, it doesn't help everything. Like I mentioned, doesn't help with the macrophages, the dendritic cells, their TNF production or other things like that. But it certainly helps killer cells. Combine that with other things, and results may be even better. But it's something, if a person has less than 100 killer cell, AHCC could be useful. Another one is another mushroom, the reishi mushroom, Ganoderma. Now, this one, they actually use the mushroom rather than the mycelium, the fruiting body. A human study in immunology investigation 2003 in New Zealand showing that 1,800 milligrams three times a day of reishi after 12 weeks increased natural killer cells from 25% to 34% of the total lymphocyte count. Now, they used a particular product called Ganopoly, which the active ingredients in reishi are what's called the polysaccharides. And they used an equivalent of 450 milligrams of polysaccharides three times a day. So, you know, it's not just 1,800 milligrams of reishi. It has to be 450 milligrams of the active compounds in there called the polysaccharides. So that's important when calculating dosages. But there's a company called JHS that I will use, and they have 48 milligrams of polysaccharides per capsule. So it ends up being close to 10 pills of theirs three times a day in order to successfully improve natural killer cell counts. And that's what the study showed, and that's what I found clinically. There's also research showing that the reishi mushroom can also downregulate that BCL2, that thing that leads to inhibiting cell death. Garlic is also something that can be useful for raising natural killer cell counts. And that's certainly something easily can be eaten. Okay, now there's activity. It's not only important to increase the numbers of killer cells, but to make them function better at killing lymphoma cells. So that's a test that can be done. It's called the natural killer cell activity. And there's been some studies in Japan in the Journal of Clinical Immunology in 1996 that's showing that patients that have really good killer cell activity have been reported to have spontaneous remissions and regressions. So the higher those killer cells go, or the more active they become, the better they are at killing these cancer cells. And, you know, the chemotherapy doesn't affect that. Rituximab might help that, but it loses its effectiveness after a while. But this is where some natural medicines could really play a big role. Well, there's something called Indian gooseberry, or amla, also called Phyllanthus emblica, showing that that increases natural killer cells activity against lymphoma. It was a twofold increase in natural killer cell activity studied in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology in 1994 and increases the lifespan of animals bearing lymphoma by 35%. So that's a common one I will use besides AHCC, which I mentioned already, if the natural killer cell activity is low, so that can be measured. There's a study showing that fish oil plus arginine, amino acid, can also improve natural killer cell activity. And there was a study done in Cancer 2000 in Colorado where they gave dogs a lymphoblastic lymphoma, stage 3 or 4, high grade, and they gave them fish oil combined with arginine, an amino acid, or they gave them just a group, experimental group with soybean oil. And they found that the disease-free survival was 70% in the fish oil group versus 30% in the control. And medium survival was 350 days in the fish oil arginine versus 250 days in the control. So how does it work? Well, there's this fatty acid called arachidonic acid. It's an omega-6 fat. If you eat a lot of corn-fed foods and a lot of soybean-fed foods, like you're having your grain-fed dairy products and your meats and stuff, there's a lot of what's called arachidonic acid in those foods. And arachidonic acid inhibits natural killer cells' ability to attack lymphoma. So getting those out of the diet, the omega-6 fats are reduced in the diet, and upping omega-3 fats and then arginine helps killer cells function better. That's the mechanism. So I always highly recommend a high omega-3 diet. Running out of time, but even if the killer cells are functioning well, the lymphoma cells, a little clever things. They can stop the killer cells from attacking them. They can remove what's called the interleukin-2 receptor from the killer cells by releasing something called MMP. The lymphoma cells can make an enzyme that removes the thing that killer cells need to get turned on. So you measure that interleukin-2 receptor. If it's high, you want to lower that, because it doesn't matter how good the killer cells are responding in the lab. In the body, they're not going to be able to get their messages. And if that's high, there's something found in saffron called crocin, that Indian herb saffron. There's a carotenoid called crocin that can help reduce these enzymes that the cancer releases to paralyze the killer cells. And huge response rates. They 95% reduction after 1 month in the lymphoma. And they let the lymphoma grow for weeks in this study in the Asian Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention 2009, till it was pretty large, and then gave the crocin from the saffron, and then after 31 days, a 95% reduction. And its mechanism of action is helping reducing these MMPs that help it paralyze the immune system. So, all right, well, I hope you found this very interesting. Next week, I'm going to talk about kidney cancer, renal cell carcinoma. This is Cancer Concepts and Compliments.
Thank you for joining us this week. Cancer Concepts and Compliments with Dr. James Belanger can be heard live every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, 9 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We hope to see you next week for another show.